Parshas Kisavim. Okay, so some weeks preparation comes easier, some weeks preparation comes harder. Anybody who prepares knows that some weeks it's hard. So tonight I knew that I would be a little pressed for time. I wasn't going to have too much time to prepare. So of course Seichel tells you to stop preparing the night before, 2 days before. But reality sets in, and it doesn't always work out. You don't always have time to do some. So I look back at some of the old Divrei Torah, and then I happen to have seen the wellsprings of Torah today. He had a lot of nice, so I put a few things together, sort of a little bit faster than usual. So if it sounds like repeats, or b'mayichumi. Okay, the Pasha starts off with the mitzvah Bikurim. Bikurim, the Pasuk tells us, in Pasuk Beis, v'kachta mireishis kol pri ha'adama, you should take from the first fruits, that Hashem gave you, and you bring it up to the base of Mikdash. And Meresh brings down the idea, Bikurim is the idea of not being kofli toiva, not being kofli toiva. Because Baruch Hu gave us fields, fruits, so we go ahead and we offer and we bring back to the Kayin, to the Mizbeach, to the base of Mikdash, appreciation, the Bikurim. I said this over every year, probably, and every time we had a Gemara similar to it, but the lesson remains as powerful then as it is now. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Tzadik Beis, the Gemara tells us, "Bosa aniya ozla ani yusa." After the ani, aniyus follows. Havani follows the ani. Hanidamiyinchi. The Gemara says, "What's in the geya? Bikurim." Because what happens when the ani brings bikurim to the base of Mikdash? What happens? Not only does the kohen take the bikurim, but he takes the basket as well, which the bikurim are given to the kohen. When the Asher brings Bikurim on the Kalim Shokhesiv is off and the gold and silver trays and Kalim, the Kayin takes out the Bikurim and returns the silver and the gold. But the Ani, who doesn't have much, the Kayin takes not only the Bikurim, but the basket of reeds that the Ani has. And the Gemara says, from here, people use the expression, after the Ani, Anios follows. The Ani has bad mazel, he only has one basket, and the Kayin takes it away. Okay, fine. So we said over this Peshat many, many times, and said many bring down this idea, different angles, but the idea is brought down that let's go back in time. What happens before the Bikurim is brought to the base of Mikdash? What happens? The Usher's house, what happens? The Usher has fields and trees and many fruits. The workers come to the Usher and say, the fruits are ripe. The Usher's great, let's get to work. And they say to him, but you have to give Bikurim. Oh, Bikurim time. Again, all right, let's see. How should we give Bikurim this year? Well, last year I brought it up in my silver platter, but the neighbors brought it up in their gold platters, their gold trays. And, it's pastish. It didn't look too nice that I brought it up in my silver. This year I'm going to outdo the neighbors, and I'm going to bring it up in my gold and best kalim that I have. Yeah. What happens in the Ani's house? The Ani's house, the Ani comes in, says, oh, the fruits are ripe. I have a chance to bring up a carbon that can actually bring fruits to the base of Mikdash. And his wife says to him, but we have a problem. How are you going to bring it up? We don't have a nice keli to bring it up. So he says, no problem. We'll get some reeds and some branches together. And the Ani's wife sits and she weaves together a basket, l'shem, the mitzvah bikurim. And the Ani brings it up to the base of Mikdash. The Kohen receives the silver tray, the gold tray, and the basket from the Ani. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which one do I want? Do I want the silver and the gold from the Kohen that came with a gaiva, kinna, and kovid, and taiva, which comes with ulterior motives, why he's bringing it up? Would I want the basket of the Ani, which comes from a serious nefesh? The Ani wove the basket himself, special for the mitzvah Bikurim. When a person is meisa nefesh for a mitzvah, it has a tremendous kayach. And that's why the basket of the Ani, fakir, it's not an oynish to the Ani, it's taken away. It's a schus. And the Ani is zaycha. Wow. That not only does he give the Bikurim, but he gives the basket as well. The Usher is not zaycha to that. The Usher is not zaycha that his kelim are accepted. Because his kelim, there's already some ulterior motive involved. The Ani is zaycha. It happens to be that the Ani gives away the basket. So the people use the expression, vasa the Ani, ozlani yusa. But the real meaning of the Pshat is that the Ani is a schus that the Usher doesn't have. And the Ani is zaycha to give his kelim to the base of Mikdash, which the Usher is not zaycha to. Not always when we see something, do we look at it the right way. Uh-huh. You look at something, the Ani is suffering, and the truth is just the opposite. The Ani is not suffering, the Ani is being zaycha to do a tremendous schus which the Usher doesn't have. It all depends how we look at things. It all depends on the thought that a person has when doing a mitzvah. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. It says, later on in the parasha, the pasuk brings down, right after Chamishi, we bring down all the brachos. Pasuk tells us about Hagrizim and Haravel right after Chamishi, Perich of Zayin, Pasuk Yir Aleph describes which Shvatim went on Hagrizim and which Shvatim went on Haravel. The brachos was said on Hagrizim, the call was said on Haravel, and the pasuk lists off all of the orus, and Rashi tells us that each of the orus were preceded by a baruch. And after each baruch, and after each aroh, the pasuk tells us, "Va'anu chacham, va'amru amen." The people answered, and they said, "Amen." Saying "Amen" is a kabbalah, a kabbal on themselves, the aroh, the baruch, "Amen." We all know the importance of saying "Amen." "Amen," we know Chazal tells us stands for Kel Melech Neman. A person who says "Amen," the chokaycha answers a bracha. His zaychet a tremendous zchusim by answering "Amen." We said this over in the past. We know the famous Marsha. The Gemara tells us that God ha'ina amen yosem ben mavarech. The one who answers amen is even greater than the one who says the bracha. Which again, at first glance, is difficult to understand. How could answering one word after somebody said a whole bracha be greater than the one who actually said the bracha? And the Gemara commits it to the soldiers that go down to the battle. So you have those that go down to fight, and then the amen are the soldiers that map up, that clean up, that finish the mochama. So the ones that end the Muhammad and that finish and proclaim victory are more important than the ones that actually went down at the beginning. But the Marsha explains very nicely. In this world, we can't pronounce Hashem's name. Yudke Vovke, we say as Adoy, Aleph Dalet Nun and Yud. We don't pronounce Shem Adonis. We don't pronounce Yudke Vovke. That's hidden. That's for the future. The Shem Havaya, the Gematria, which is Shem Havaya, Yudke Vavke is 26. The Gemashi of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is
65.
65 and 26 is 91. Amen, the Gematria is 91. Amen is Aleph Mem Nun is 91. So God of Ha'ina Amen. The one who answers Amen is greater than the one who makes the bracha, because in the word Amen, he includes the Shem Havaya and the Shem Adonis. He includes the way that Hashem's name is written and the way Hashem's name is pronounced. But the one who says the bracha only said Hashem's name the way we pronounce it, not the way it's written. So the one who says Amen in that sense is greater than he's zeichet to mention Hashem with the Shem Adonis and the Shem Havaya.
We had that
in the
scene.
Yes.
Whether it's more important
than
the
Gemara. Yes.
Is that
Gemara
the end of
Nazir? Masha. Masha's there. Masha. That's one of the other places where Gemara brings it there. Masha brings down this idea of the Amen being greater.
Some say, I think, that because Enavik and Dick Kassel, okay,
same Hashem, God. The Ben Ish Chag is a famous marshal answering Amen, which we said over in the past, but I think it brings a smile to everybody's face. The king was coming to a certain city, and they put up posters and announcements all over, the king is coming. And there's a very young boy in the town, very active little fella. Very active little fella. And he's all excited the king is coming. And he asks his mother, what happens when the king comes? And his mother tells him, when the king comes, there'll be a big parade, a whole procession, and all the people are going to line up on the sides. I'm all going to watch as the king's carriage goes through. We're going to stand and watch the king. And everyone's going to cry out, long live the king, long live the king. And the boy gets all excited. And he takes his little drum set that he has. He starts banging away. Long live the king! Long live the king! And he attracts his friends and his neighbors. And he makes a whole procession marching through the town. Long live the king! Long live the king! And every day, in anticipation of the king's visit, they're busy prancing around, parading around. Long live the king! Finally, the big day arrives, and the king is coming. And, of course, when the king comes, there's no parade. He's not marching around. Everyone's standing at attention. And his mother tells her son, maybe it's a better idea if you stay home. You're a little bit of an active young man, and if you misbehave when the king is here, it's not just misbehaving. You have dire consequences. Maybe it's better if you stay home. And the boy promises he'll be on his best behavior. He'll not do anything wrong. He understands what it means. How to stand quietly in honor of the king. But of course, boys are boys. And what does a little boy carry in his pocket? Right. A slingshot. He has his little slingshot with him.
BB guns.
And they're all lined up. and the parade, the procession starts. The king's officers and soldiers come by on horseback, and finally the king's carriage starts coming down the main street, and crowds are lined up all over, and the boy is getting very fidgety, and he's standing on the side, takes out a slingshot, starts playing with some rocks that he found, and he looks at the carriage, I wonder what it would sound like if a rock hits the carriage.
Yeah, good idea.
The carriage. Yeah. And he takes a slingshot, and he aims, since he had practiced a lot, he had very good aim, and he hits a bullseye, and the rock hits the carriage. As soon as the rock hits the carriage, the soldiers immediately sprint out.
Security.
Security. They quickly run in. They protect the king. They're under attack.
The Secret Service.
And they fan out to find the
culprit.
The terrorist, the one who shot the rock at the king. And they locate this 8-year-old boy as the terrorist who shot the rock at the king. And they bring him before the king. Your Majesty, here's the culprit. He's the one who shot the rock. And the king's soldiers are ready to do away with him.
Kill him.
He threw a rock at the carriage. And the king says, not so fast. Before we decide how to punish this young man, is there anybody who could defend him? Find out who this boy is. And is there anybody who could defend him and speak on his behalf? And the soldiers fan out. And they find out that this young man, for weeks before the king came, every day he led a procession, a parade. Long live the king, long live the king. And he had done this day in and day out. And the boy's mother comes and says to the king, my son, your majesty, he loves you very much. He cares for you every day. He practices with the king just as a young fellow, a little bit active. And it was getting a little bit boring standing on the side. So he did what boys do. Please forgive him for shooting the stone, but my son really respects the king and cares for the king. And the king forgave him. Says the Benish Chai, that's us. The king comes, we shoot our rocks sometimes. We do our Averis. We know what's wrong, but we get a little fidgety, we get a little bit, it gets a hold of us. And we do things that are wrong. We shoot the rocks at the king's carriage, we do what's wrong.
Wow.
And the king wants to punish, we deserve to be punished. But the sultan comes, the prosecutor comes, says, that's it, they deserve to be punished. Says Hashem, 1 minute. Let's see who he is. Let's see. Can anybody speak in his defense? And then the good malachim come and they say, you know this person? He answered amen. He was in shul.
Wow.
He answered amen. Kemach Neman, long live the king. Every day, 3 times a day he's in shul. And he answers amen. Kemach Neman, amen, amen. He answered amen, long live the king. He truly cares for the king. He truly loves the king. But the Yetzirah got a hold of him and he threw some rocks. Be Michael. Kayach of an Omein is powerful. Omein is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous kayach.
They saved the boy?
Yes, the boy was saved. Benish Chayat is very, very powerful, powerful motion. One word could accomplish. One word could accomplish a lot. Things don't always seem like they are. One word is very, very powerful. Famous story of Chayim Velojna. Chayim Velojna was makbid not to say a bracha unless there was somebody who would answer Omein. He was alone, he would not answer Omein until he found somebody else to answer Omein. One night, he was up late learning Beis Mendesh, and there was nobody around, thinking he was very thirsty. And he wouldn't take a drink of water until there was somebody to answer Amen. And suddenly he looks up and he sees a bacha walking into the Beis Mendesh. So happy, quickly runs, before anything, says, wait a minute, I'm going to make a shakal in Dvaroi, takes his water, and Mechaim V'Loshina makes a shakal in Dvaroi, and the bacha answers Amen, Mechaim V'Loshina drinks his water, that was it. The next morning, after Shacharis, Chaim V'Loshna sees the bocha. He walks over and says, thank you very much for coming last night to the Beis Mendesh. It was only because of you I was able to take a drink. Thank you very much. And the bocha says, I wasn't there. It wasn't me. I was sleeping. I wasn't in the Beis Mendesh last night. I didn't answer my tia bracha. I wasn't there.
You should have said yes.
Chaim V'Loshna realized that Min Hashemayim, they had sent him down somebody to answer Amen. Somebody to answer Amen. And that
good
person
enough.
Came dressed as this bacha. And even though the bacha didn't answer, wasn't the one that answered Amen, Reb Chaim V'Loshna was always mechabit this bacha, because Elionovi came, his form came then, he was always mechabit this bacha. But the stories of Amen go on and on and on and on, the books and stories of Amen, Amen has a tremendous kayach.
You want to hear something interesting?
Yes.
Second day I was in Mitzvah Tovah Das. So my friend told me, Harry, there's a fellow here who gives out candy because I asked him about the Shabbos this time. Yeah, he likes to answer Amen. And you know what it was? Gel.
Yeah.
I always had candy ready, and because he wanted to answer Amen. Real tzaddik.
You have to say 90 Amen.
My wife wakes me up 6 o'clock every morning.
You have to say 90
Amen.
Tzaddik Amen. No, that's tzaddik. 90
Amen. I answer Amen.
Dalin, Kedusha,
Yodan. That's the afterword.
Kadeshim.
He tells me make a brother.
Okay, in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, by the brachas before the Teichecha, the Pasuk says, Vayisa Rach Lamayla, Vayisi Ramata. You should be above, and you should not be below. And the word, and the Tzadik HaKayim says very nicely, Vayisa Rach Lamayla, you should be Lamayla. What does it mean, Rach Lamayla? Sometimes, when a person achieves success, and he rises, it's detrimental, it brings him down. Person gets successful, it goes to his head, and faket, it has the opposite effect, it brings him down. So the bracha is Vayisah Rak L'mayla. The bracha should be you only L'mayla. When you have success, it should bring you L'mayla, should stay Rak L'mayla, Vayisah L'mata, and not Chas V'Shogom, it should be a way of bringing you down. The Chiddush Yerim is a similar pshat in the Pasuk, Perichov Ches Pasuk Beis, Uvo'o Brachas Ha'ela V'Yisigucha. These brachas will come and they'll reach you, they'll catch up to you. Says the Chiddush Yerim, what's for Hisigucha? It'll reach you. Whereas the brachas will reach the level you're on, and not Chas V'Shalom bring you down. Whatever level you're on, the brachas will come, and they'll reach you, and you'll remain on that level, but not that you'll fall. The Chassam Soifer, though, says something very interesting. The word rak is a miut. Achin v'rakin, a miut. Rak is a miut. Says the Chassam Soifer, v'yisir rak l'mayla. The brachas is you should be almost l'mayla, but not 100% l'mayla. A person should never fail. He's perfect, successful, everything is 100%. Person fails 100%, there's only one way to go. It's down. Person should be rakumai. Should always be a little bit missing. A person should always need, fail. There's more to do. There's more to accomplish. Ruchnius, Auschwitz, whatever it might be. But it's be rakumai. A little bit less. A person who fails that he has everything, there's nothing to live for anymore. A person needs to be challenged, needs to have what to strive for. But you say rak l'mayla, not quite l'mayla, but this is rak l'mayla. It comes to laying the teichecha. So we all know that the meaning is that the teichecha is one long aliyah. We don't break up the teichecha. Start with the brachas before. Different minhagim, who gets the aliyah, every shul has its own meaning. What the procedure is. But we make the bracha earlier, we lay the entire teichecha, and then we reach the end and we stop. We don't break in the middle. The Medrash says, the reason we don't break in the middle, says the Medrash, very powerful words. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, it's not right that Klal Yisrael should be distressed from the klala, and I should be with brachas. So you interrupt in the middle of a klala, say a bracha, you're benching Hashem in the middle of the klala. It's not fair. It's not right that you should bench me in the middle of the klalas. So therefore, we lay in all the klalas for the bracha, but it's good, and a bracha at the end. You don't interrupt the teichecha with a bracha in the beginning. Misfasena says very powerful. He says if a person has a shas tzara, a person has a problem, a person has a trouble, adarav, bench Hashem. Give a bracha to Hashem. If you give a bracha, but a person is beset shas tzara, Hashem says, how could it be? The person is benching me, and he's in a matzav of a kola. He's in a matzav of being distressed. It can't be. So by saying a bracha, benching Hashem, the person's in a matzav of a tzara, could turn it around and bring about the bracha. Saw a story today. This chassid moved away from the Rebbe, and years later, he writes a letter to the Rebbe about all his problems that he has. And he writes to the Rebbe that he has a problem in the house, with the children, and parnasa, and he tells the Rebbe, I'm ready to give up, what can I do? And the Rebbe writes him back. He says, first of all, mazel tov, I didn't know you were married, mazel tov and the chasana. I didn't know you had a baby boy, mazel tov and the boy. I didn't know you had a girl, mazel tov and the girl. I didn't know that you had a house. Mazel tov that you have a house. Now what's your problem? You know, so there's always ways to look at things. Even in the bad, there's always good. You can always find what to thank Hashem for, even when it's bad. When it's bad, people tend to get carried away. We see the present in front of us right now, what's here. But look back. Look at all the chesed that Hashem did. There's so much to thank Hashem for the past. A person thanks Hashem, fakert, it brings good. Mention this because Rav Miller used to always say, Zochreinu l'chaim, l'chavetz b'chaim, l'chavetz b'chaim, l'chavetz b'chaim. Rav Miller would say over, before you ask for this year, you thank Hashem for last year. You know now how you would judge last year. This Rosh Hashanah, you start to say, Zochreinu l'chaim. You know how you would judge last year. You thank Hashem for last year. Before you come and you say, please, another year, be a mensch. Say thank you. Thank you for last year. And the person says thank you, you can ask for it. You can ask again. Someone does you a favor, you can't ask for another favor until you say thank you first. First, thank you, and then Zechreinu L'chaim. Says in the Teichecha, in Perik Chav Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin, Tachas Hashem lo yavadatas Hashem l'kecha, besimcha v'tuv reiv v'mirevcha. Because you didn't serve Hashem, besimcha v'tuv reiv v'mirevcha. And Rashi tells us, when you had it good, you had everything good, and you didn't serve Hashem when you had it good, so now we're being punished. And everybody discusses the idea of doing mitzvahs b'simcha, ibduas Hashem b'simcha. You touch the pasuk, you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, that's why the call has come. When a person does mitzvahs, a person should do it b'simcha. There's two stories I saw over today. In Slonim, one Sukkot morning, the first day of Sukkot in the morning, a soldier from the army walks into shul. And the Slonim Rebbe is mechabed the soldier from, gave him tremendous kavod. And the oilman was very, puzzled. The soldier looks like a poshniya, doesn't know too much, and the Rebbe was mechabed him. So they asked the Rebbe later on, why were you mechabed the soldier? What chus did the soldier have? And the Rebbe told him, the soldier's here, I want you to call him over, and I want him to tell you the story that happened to him last night. And they called the soldier over, and the Rebbe said, the Eilam wants to know what special chus you have. I want you to tell them what happened to you last night. And the soldier didn't want the Rebbe, please tell him. Okay, the soldier said, I'm a Yid. Last night was the first night of Sukkot. And I was desperate. I wanted to eat at least the kazayis of challah. Kazayis of bread in the sukkah. And I was on guard duty last night. As a sentry, I was on guard duty last night in the army camp. And I didn't know how I would be zeicher to be able to eat inside the sukkah. The camp, the army camp, is right outside of the slonim. And I saw from the army camp, not far away on the outskirts of the town, there was a sukkah right there. And the whole night I'm standing on guard duty. And I'm saying to myself, when will I have a chance, a few minutes, to chop, to run away, to eat in the sukkah? And every time I'm planning when to go, my commanding officer would walk by and check up on me, and he was kaseida there 1 hour after another, and Apostle was not able to leave my post for even a minute. He was there the whole time. Finally, it's already close to Chatzai, it's already 12, and my commanding officer had gone away, and I saw I had a little Pesach to run. As soon as he was out of sight, I ran, jumped over the fence, and I ran to the sukkah. Of course, nobody was up. I knocked, I woke somebody up, I said, please do me a favor. I'm a Yid, I'm a soldier in the army, just let me have a kazayis, maybe a member of Kiddush, and eat a kazayis in the sukkah, and I have to run back to the army, but let me at least be zeicher. And they brought me out a case of wine, I made Kiddush, I washed, ate a kazayis, I benched, I jumped back over the fence, and ran back before my commanding officer returned, and he never discovered that I left. So the Slonim Rebbe said, he was mois and nefesh for the mitzvah of eating the sukkah. But he said to his chassidim, that's not why I was mechabed. Why I was mechabed? Because of the simcha that he had when he ate in that sukkah. The simcha that he felt, see the simcha on his face, the simcha that he had, that he was zeichet to do the mitzvah. Simcha that a person has who does a mitzvah is worth so much. And that's why he said you can see on his face, you can see that simcha of the mitzvah, and you see the kedusha because of the simcha that he had. Okay? We take things sometimes a little bit too much for granted. Sukkah, ruach, an esper, a shayfer, it's natural for us, it comes. But a little bit of simcha, doing a mitzvah, a person has to feel a little simcha when doing a mitzvah. Just saw the Sefer Me'il Tzedaka I saw also brought down today. It brings in a very nice, also a nice story, how something little goes a long way. There was a Kolma Russia, a miser, never gave a penny to stock his whole life. The very end of his life, he was already in, very sick, and he was lying in bed, and they asked him, do you want anything to eat? And he said, you know what, I'll take an egg. So they cooked up an egg for him. Before they gave him the egg, a poor man knocked on the door, and he asked for some food. So from his bed, he screamed out, take the egg you cooked for me and give it to the Oni. The Oni gave the, the egg, and this miser soon after passed away. It was Nifta. Came back in a dream, and he said that because of the egg that he gave, he was zeiche to Gan Eden. That tilted the scales of Kaf Schus because of the egg that he gave. So he asked him, how could one egg tilt the scales of Kaf Schus? You have a big history behind you of not behaving properly. How could one egg tilt the scales of Taiva? And he said, because that Oni was on the verge of dying. And that one egg saved his life. Because I saved his life, all the mitzvahs that he did and will do, and all of everything that comes out from this army, I get credit for. And because of that egg that I gave him, I get credit for everything, the dividends from that army, and that was enough to tilt the scales of Chaschus. Something small, again, he gave an egg. But you never know. We don't have such dramatic stories. Someone comes on a doorstep and he's... But Umaysa, every little chesed that a person does, everything, every little part helps. And a person should never feel something is too small. In Chevron Yeshiva, so there were bachim that came from all over. And Elul, each bachim would say over how in his town, the town felt and related to Chodesh Elul. So it's one bachim came from a town in Russia, and he asked him, in your town, how did they feel about Chodesh Elul? And he said something very, very, very fascinating. He said, imagine if you have a piece of metal, and the metal turns rusty. So it depends. If it's just rusty on the outside, you could still use it. You could clean it off and you could use it. But if it's rusted through and through, you can't use it. How can you tell whether it's rusty on the outside or it's rusty through and through? You take a magnet. You put the magnet next to it. If the magnet attracts it, it's attracted to the magnet, it shows it's still metal, it still has steel, it didn't rust away.
In the vanic.
But if you see that it's not attracted to the magnet, it shows it's all corroded, it's all rusted, and it can't be used. He said, that me, in my town we said, Chodesh Elul is a magnet. When it comes to Chodesh Elul, how do you feel? Does it attract you? Does it pull you a little bit? If Chodesh Elul pulls you, it shows that you're not that rusty, you're okay. Maybe a little rusty on the outside, but on the inside, but if a person doesn't feel Chodesh Elul pulling him at all, Elul is a regular month, and it's day in, day out routine, doesn't feel anything special, that shows that person needs to clean himself through and through. He's rusty not only on the inside, but he's rusty on, is that not only on the outside, but he's rusty on the inside as well. So comes Chodesh Elul. Do we feel it? Do we feel the pull a little bit the pull of the magnet a little bit to wake up? Rosh Hashanah is already less than 2 weeks away. Yisrael Salanta would say, the Sultan, when he hears the Shefer Rosh Hashanah, is all confused. He thinks the Shefer Shem Mashiach arrived, but the Tshuva Mashiach arrives. Yisrael Salanta would say, if the Sultan could believe that we did Tshuva, why don't we believe that we could do Tshuva? Why don't we believe that we can do Tshuva? So it comes before Elul, there's so many things that a person can do, whether it's small, big, whatever it might be. An amen, chesed, learning. So let's be mechazik ourselves. We still have time in Chodesh Elul before Hashanah comes. And we should not always say, the chesed, 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 the ches